Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not. The 538.com website currently reports that John Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 89.7% of the time, slightly higher than last week. Chris McKenna reports that the fray that the House Republican Super Political Action Committee has reserved $1 million in television and internet advertising for this fall for Representative John Faso, the Republican from Kinderhook. The Congressional Leadership Fund has said it has bought airtime for 10 candidates nationally, including Faso. His opponent, Democrat Antonio Delgado, raised more than Faso in the second two quarters of 2017, as did another Democrat, Pat Ryan. As of March 31st, Delgado had more money overall than Faso. The fundraising reports for the second quarter of 2018 will be announced this week. Read the full story at The Fray.
Paul Brooks of the Times Herald reports that 18 Hudson Valley-based religious leaders are calling for Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, to retract his review of some of the lyrics of a hip-hop album put out by his opponent, Antonio Delgado, in 2006. A letter addressed to Faso from 18 local members of the clergy says, and I quote, "Shame on you. This tactic should be called out for what it is. A thinly veiled racist attack for the purpose of insinuating fear in the voters in our district. Employing this tactic is distasteful, offensive, and morally wrong," end quote. Last week, even though the existence of Delgado's 2006 album credited to A.D. Voice, Painfully Free, has been mentioned in the media and campaign for over a year, Faso said in a July 9th press release, and I quote, "I was shocked and surprised to learn Mr. Delgado offered some very troubling and offensive song lyrics. Mr. Delgado's lyrics paint an ugly and false picture of America," end quote. In a letter to Faso, the clergy are asking the congressperson, and I quote, "to retract your attack and continue this congressional race with integrity and honesty," end quote. On July 13th, the Republican-backed Super PAC, the Congressional Leadership Fund, began paying for a radio advertisement to air locally in the Albany and Poughkeepsie media markets centered on Delgado's recording and lyrics. Delgado's lyrics do include a few references to drug use and sexual encounters, and do also tackle politics, such as government's insufficient response to the victims of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. In one Delgado lyric, and I quote, "Think about our history and trace it back to when the Superdome got packed in like a slave ship, thousands left to die like they ain't worth expletive. How can we forget the past when it lives in the present? Why the response wasn't as fast as 9/11? The Crescent City abandoned," end quote. On July 13th, the Democrat defended his music again, saying, and I quote, "The mission of my music was clear, to speak to and inspire folks who have felt shut out and ignored by a broken political system, as so many people here at home still do. I'm disappointed that John Faso and his allies would stoop this low to use stereotypes and lies. I call on John Faso to immediately disavow these divisive attacks," end quote. Rabbi Yehiel Roma, Congregation Emmanuel of Hudson Valley in Kingston, said the principles of the letter addressed to Faso should extend to the outside pack. She said, and I quote, "I find it reprehensible that any group would use this kind of tactic in an attempt to elect a candidate," end quote. Faso's campaign did not respond to the newspaper's request for comment. Read the full story in the Times Herald.
A SUNY New Paltz professor released a statement July 17th after he was quoted in a New York Times story talking about congressional candidate Antonio Delgado's 2006 hip-hop CD. After John Faso criticized the lyrics of Delgado's old project A.D. Voice last week, several other national publications have picked up the story, including the New York Times, where SUNY New Paltz professor Gerald Benjamin, a friend of Faso, was quoted saying, quote, "As a guy who makes a rap album, the kind of guy who lives here in rural New York and reflects our lifestyle and values," unquote, adding that he personally did not consider rap music to be, quote, "real music," unquote. That brought criticism from SUNY New Paltz president Donald Christian and Tanea Pacheco Dunn, the college's chief diversity officer, among others. Christian and Dunn wrote an open letter that said that Benjamin's comments, quote, raise the specter of racism and marginalize members of our community, both of which are anti-ethical to our institutional values of inclusivity and respect, unquote. Quote, we spoke with the administrator who offered these quotes, unquote, the letter states. Quote, he regrets these comments and their impact on the institution and our community and recognizes that language matters, unquote. Hours after the article went online and brought the criticism, Benjamin sent out this email. Dear colleagues and co-workers, I have worked at SUNY New Paltz for 50 years in several capacities and have a deep attachment to the school and the diverse community we have built here. I am therefore very sorry for any unintended distress caused by my remarks in yesterday's New York Times interview, published today in the print edition. These remarks have been condemned as racist. I had no racist intent, but understand the impact of those remarks and regret having made them. I sought to make two points in this interview. The first was that race is never irrelevant to American politics, and that this is especially the case when an African-American candidate is running against a white candidate in a largely white district. The second was that the Republican use of his background as a rap artist was an attempt to open a cultural gap between Mr. Delgado and the majority of the district's population. I made these points badly. My remarks were insufficiently precise, my points poorly articulated, and my language very insensitive and therefore subject to multiple interpretations. I particularly regret the casual use of the phrase, quote, people like us, unquote, to describe rural upstate New Yorkers. This language is overgeneral, exclusionary, and I see in retrospect evokes racist connotations. Academics should stick to what they know. I react negatively to racially charged, violence-inducing, misogynist lyrics I have heard, but knew virtually nothing about rap music as a form of affirmative artistic and cultural expression. I was therefore particularly in error and professionally inappropriate in generalizing from a casually informed point of view, and in doing so, turning what should have been an analytic statement into a very badly informed personal. I am honored to head a regional public policy research center named for me that does important work to advance social equity, political accountability, and environmental justice. My talented colleagues in the center, especially because it is named for me, fear that my comments in the Times will jeopardize their opportunity to continue this important work. I urge that colleagues and citizens understand that my remarks were not representative of the center and its staff, and I ask you to continue to value our work on its merits. I deeply regret my comments and apologize for any unintended offense they may have engendered and for any harm caused to our institution to which I have devoted my professional life, unquote. That's Gerald Benjamin, the director of the Benjamin Center at SUNY New Paltz.
Chris McKenna is reporting for The Prey. 19th Congressional District candidate Democrat Antonio Delgado spent approximately $2.1 million, or roughly $272 per vote, in his June primary battle against six other Democrats. Delgado will face off against incumbent Republican John Faso in November. Delgado raised the most among the field of seven and outraised Faso by nearly $500,000 over the last 18 months, according to campaign disclosure forms. Delgado's fellow Democrat, Brian Flynn from Greene County, tied for fourth in the primary but spent the second highest amount on expenses, winding up with the greatest per vote cost of $331. Jeff Beals of Woodstock received the same number of votes as Flynn and spent less than a third as much. Delgado, an attorney who lives in Rhinebeck, won the primary with 22% of the vote, about 4 points higher than his nearest rivals. He was one of the earliest candidates to emerge last year in what turned out to be a crowded and competitive Democratic race. The seven contenders who stayed in the race until the end spent a total of more than $7 million, according to the State Board of Elections. Read the full story at The Prey, a HudsonValley.com blog. The Associated Press and the Daily Freeman are reporting lawmakers from both parties expressed shock, dismay, and discomfort with President Donald Trump's comments July 16th that he believes Russian President Vladimir Putin's denial of Russian aggressive cyber attacks against the U.S. during the 2016 presidential campaign. U.S. Representative John Faso joined a chorus of Republican senators, congressmen, and other officials expressing dismay, and I quote, at the approach, end quote, taken by Trump during a 45-minute press conference in Helsinki. Faso said in a statement emailed to the media, and I quote, Putin is no friend of the United States. There is no credibility to Putin's denials, especially in light of the public evidence and our own U.S. intelligence reports. We know the Russians meddled in our elections, and we must continue our sanctions and diplomatic pressure against Putin's actions, end quote. Paso's Democratic challenger, Antonio Delgado, said it was, and I quote, deeply problematic, end quote, that Trump refused to acknowledge Russia's interference in the 2016 election. Delgado posted on his official campaign page on Facebook, and I quote, silence on this issue can be deafening, if not complicit, in behavior unaligned with the security of our nation, end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. On July 17th, Representative John Paso joined all but three of his Republican colleagues in the U.S. House, voting 229 to 184 for H.R. 6147, and I quote, the spending bill for the Department of Interior, Environment, and related agencies for the fiscal year ending September 30th, 2019, end quote. Does not take a position on pay raises for federal workers. That, FedWeek reports, allows annual raises proposed by the White House to take effect by default. Currently, the Trump administration is not advocating any raises for 2019, so federal paychecks would remain flat. Some Democrats are calling for 3% federal wage increase, but observers predict the raise will be decided in negotiations between the White House and Senate, and not until later this year. Catherine Bordeaux at Politico reports that 47 U.S. House members have been named to the conference committee that will work out the major differences between the Senate and the House versions of the Farm Bill, with only one area representative on the list. Congressperson Paul Tonko, who represents all of Albany County and parts of Rensselaer County, was named by Nancy Pelosi to the conference committee. Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, did not get named by Paul Ryan among Republicans on the committee that will attempt to work out the differences between their versions of H.R. 2, the Agricultural Improvement Act of 2018. Faso has championed a proposal in the House version, though not in the Senate version, adding more requirements to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program for food stamps. Tonko disagrees. He said in a social media post, and I quote, I am honored to have the opportunity to bring my voice to the table during negotiations of this essential bill. As we go to conference with the Senate, I vow to fight against any and every provision that would force kids to go hungry, undermine environmental protections, weaken clean energy opportunities in rural communities, and rip resources from the hands of our farmers. I look forward to advocating for the programs that matter most for our farmers and families across upstate New York, end quote. The Farm Bill, passed about every 4 years, funds all sorts of nutrition, agricultural, and research programs. The House version, H.R. 2, passed in June 213 to 211, with 20 Republicans joining all the House Democrats against the bill. The Senate bill will also, unlike the House version, legalize industrial hemp production, encourage exports to Cuba, extend the flood insurance program, and allow grazing on some conservation lands. Read the full story at Politico.